Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy. I'm with WOKV, and this is the Sunday Ask the Experts weekend. Here during this hour, we have Pete the Job Guy Langlois, and this show is an expert show that is your guide to everything jobs. This is a place where you can hear about new job opportunities and get free extensive career advice from local business leaders themselves. The staffing industry's leading authority, Pete the Job Guy Langlois, this guy to my right, explores the failures and successes behind Jacksonville's top influential individuals while discussing hot workplace controversies with an honest and entertaining filter. If you have any questions for Pete, give us a call at 340-1045. Pete, welcome to Sunday.
Do the hustle! Hard workers, wake up, stretch, have your cup of coffee, and get ready to have a good time with me this morning. I'm going to tell you something. Number one, I am the sum total of my life's experiences. I'm not really sure what that means, but that's who I am. I'll tell you what, I just got a word, on my Facebook. A friend of mine from high school notified me, and get this, my whole life is about ready to change. The 1981 Tewksbury Memorial High School football team has entered into the Tewksbury Memorial High School Hall of Fame. I'm a Hall of Famer. I have a Super Bowl ring. We got our butts kicked by Winthrop in the Super Bowl, but I have a Super Bowl ring. Now I'm a Hall of Famer. My whole life has changed. I'm going to put that on my resume. Hey, I want to say a shout-out to Busky, to Jeff Vecchi, to Boo Tremlett, all my Charlie Healy, all you guys. Congratulations. You are also Hall of Famers. Nobody can ever take that away. Today's show, each week, you know, we have a theme. And this theme is about preparing the future workforce to enter the workforce. A lot of us prepare our kids to go to college. We prepare them for that next step in their career. But this, ultimately, everybody's going to work. So even if you go off to college or you go to a trade school, whatever you do, it's about what you do in life. And we want to make sure the next generation is prepared. Right, we make sure our kids go to school. They get decent grades. We make sure they take their SATs. They prepare for it. And maybe there's extracurricular stuff. But there's other things that certain parents do to make sure. Some of them are overkill, right? You get Tiger Lady. You got all this stuff that I do too much. I put too much pressure on my kids, and they flame out early. We want to know that balance, but we also want to hear from you. What do you do to prepare your kids? And kids, we want you to call up and tell us, you know, what do you want to do when you get older and what are you doing right now? Today, if you want to join the discussion, it's 904-340-1045. You call us. We're live here in the studio this morning. With me is the hard worker himself, Alex Stuckey. Alex, come on in here. And I also have the world famous Tom Nolan, business leader and dad, also with us. But let's go to Alex right now. What do you got, Alex?
Hey, Pete, thanks for having us again, and welcome back, right, from the Down Under. We appreciate you being back, and thanks for having me on. So today I wanted to talk about that theme of, right, the setback and the comeback again, and talk about how that helps with preparation. So with me today in the studio, and hopefully we'll have some call-ins as well, I've brought my son, Preston Stuckey, and we're going to talk to him a little bit, maybe at the bottom of the hour. But I wanted to talk about in relationship to business. So in business, when you start out, everybody starts out with a workers' comp rate of 1.0. And so if anybody out there runs a business, owns a business, or manages a business, you know that work comp is critical to being competitive, right? And so when you start out your new business, everybody starts out even with a 1.0. And you know, Pete, you know how this goes. The if you're unsafe and you don't have good safety processes and you have a bunch of claims, you end up that rate goes up 1.2, 1.4, 1.8, right? And you end up some people up at a 2.0 or higher. And some people that are very safe and have great programs end up going down, right? They have a 0.8, a 0.75, and a 0.5. So what does that mean? So in real life, what that means is everybody, when you start out, has the same exact rate. So let's say you start a business and your competitor start out, and the one person has a 1.0 and the other one has a 1.0, and your premium's $100,000, right? So if your premium's $100,000, but then person A has a horrible safety record, and they end up at a 2. So what that means is that guy ends up with a business that's paying $200,000 for the same premium.
Woo!
Right? That's horrible. The other person, if they're very safe, they end up with a 0.5. So now their premium's only $50,000. So when you go out to compete in the market, you're having to deal with a $150,000 delta, right? And so that makes a big difference in being competitive. So think about that in relationship to training up your kids, Pete, and to preparing people for being ready to go to work. It's the same thing. We all start out with a 1.0 in life, right? And so I brought Preston in because I wanted to talk to him a little bit and say, you know, Preston, when you did this and you went to school and you were in high school, did you start out as a 1.0?
I mean, everybody starts out generally the same. It's just when you enter your freshman year, it's basically a clean slate. So yeah, I'd say I started initially with a 1.0.
Right. And so then you go to school and you're in there and you got friends that goofed around and had some mistakes and, you know, did some bad things and got a bad grade or a two or three or yeah, they ended up with, you know, a bunch of C's and D's. Right. And so now their rates dropped from a 1 to a 1.2 to a 1.4 to 1.5. How about you? Did you do well your freshman year?
My freshman year of high school?
Yeah, freshman year of high school.
Yeah, I would say I did okay. It wasn't until probably my late sophomore year when I started realizing it was important to do well early on.
So you had a little setback. You didn't do super great, right? You had a couple of B's in there, and then you had to make up for it, right? So your rate probably went from a 1.0 to a 1.2, and you had to overcome that.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably accurate. I mean, when you're in high school, you see all kinds of mobility. You see people going up and down. You see, like, people go way down and then pick back up. People go way up and then fall back down. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I would say I probably fell down a little bit early on, but by my junior year of high school, I was definitely picked up to where I needed to be, if not better.
You know, it's usually around that junior year where people start to figure it out and say, holy cow, this is important. Right. First, you're kind of coasting. You're a kid. I'm going to get the grades to please dad or mom or whatever it is. But then right around that 11th grade year, you realize, wait a second, I'm trying to get into college or I'm trying to better myself. It's happening. Did you have like an epiphany or did someone say something, a counselor, your dad, somebody that said, wow? Or did you just kind of figure it out that, man, it's time to turn it up a notch?
I mean, yeah, I would say because of my friend group, by the time I was in my junior year, I definitely just figured it out that I needed to start really working. Because, I mean, like you said, when you enter high school, you're a kid. You're like 14 years old. Nobody really expects at that young of an age to have to be preparing for 5 years ahead. So,
yeah. And now, okay, so you've already gone through your first year of college. You're in your second year or you're in your third?
I am going to be starting my sophomore year of college.
And the transition, okay, because this is tough, because you got a lot of, we've encouraged all week, we've been kind of promoting the show, there's a lot of young people, a lot of people in high school. What was the transition like? And I know there's a lot of, you're getting pulled in a lot of different directions in college. I know firsthand experience, it's tough to keep your eye on the prize and stay focused. How was the transition for you? And if you could tell yourself, the rising freshman to college, what would you tell yourself that would help you maybe avoid a pitfall or two when coming into college for your first year?
I mean, I would say the transition, there's a couple different transitions. Academically, it's pretty similar. It's not that big of a transition academically if you stay focused, but that is the critical part, staying focused. I mean, whenever you get into college, you're free. You can do whatever you want. You don't have somebody over you, like, breathing down your neck, telling you what you need to do.
Oh, that sounds like your dad, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's your parent or your teachers, I mean, you're your own person whenever you get into college. You've got to really stay focused, stay on track. Because like I said, academically, the transition's not that hard academically. If you can just keep your head in the game, it's not going to be a hard transition. It'll be an easy ride.
Good, good. Now, I have with me Tom Noel. Tom, jump in here for a second. What do you have to say on this?
Well, Pete, as a father of two younger children, I have a daughter who's a seventh grader and a son who's a fifth grader. It's great to hear from Preston because, you know, as a parent, you have to be involved, right? And obviously, Alex did it right. He helped out raise his child and Preston so that he knew what he's doing, you know? And so now that he's at his phase in college, you know, he doesn't have someone looking out for him and he's got to do it himself. So I think that accountability that you instill in your children when they're young is crucial to what they're going to be later in life. And that's from everything, right? It's whether you're involved with them with sports and their academics or extracurricular stuff. you know, with my son, we do a lot with scouting. And, you know, the Scouts is a great program, whether it's Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, just instills in them just the life skills that they need when they get older. And with my kids and the boys, presentation skills, right? Just doing something like this, you know, coming in and talking to people. Kids nowadays, sometimes you see them, their heads buried in their iPhone and everything else, right? So to get them up and talking in front of people and build that confidence, I mean, it's critical to raising up a good hard worker.
You know, and you got that right. Hard worker. You said it right there. What'd you do for Preston, your first year? How were your grades?
I finished my first semester with a 4.0, and then my second semester I got 1 B+. So it dropped. My GPA dropped to like a 3.92, so I'm struggling now.
Yeah, 3.92. He's struggling.
Yeah,
he's struggling.
A major setback.
Yeah, you can't have a comeback without a setback. There you go.
Yeah, of course.
Tom, you mentioned scouting, and you know, I know right now colleges and even employers, they look for something beyond just the academics. Are you playing a sport? Are you involved in the community? Are you a scout? I know as an employer, and I've employed a bunch of people, hired a bunch of people, when I see Eagle Scout on the resume, I know somebody has perseverance. They've listened. They've been a leader. They've accomplished a lot of tasks over a defined or it's a long period of time to achieve that. And that lets me know something, that this person didn't bail out when times got tough. This is somebody that's going to see a project through fruition, and they're going to be successful. Tom, you know, you got your kids in what, the soccer, their athletics, beyond just the academics, and you talk a little bit about the scouting and how that prepares people too.
Well, yeah, our kids do a lot of different things, whether it's with scouting or athletics. And, you know, in every aspect of it, it's just instilling them those life skills, right? It's being on time, being accountable to a team, right? You got other people that rely on you, and you have to be accountable. So those are the type of things you build up. You know, scouts are great because it gives back to the community. There's values that you instill. And then, you know, the other thing, though, Pete, I was thinking about, and as an employer, too, I see a lot of college students or even in high school, people not only just doing school, but also even having a part-time job, right? Getting into the workforce early, whether it's in some sort of customer service or, you know, in the hospitality industry. So I was just kind of curious, Preston, you know, when you were in high school or even now, were you have a part-time job or were you also working at the same time? And if so, what did that do for you?
Yes, I did. I started working when I was a sophomore in high school. I started working out in a warehouse. It was for a company called Advantis. It's just actually still work there. So yeah, I started working at a warehouse when I was in my sophomore year, and then I slowly moved my way up. Now I'm still working there, but I'm an intern in the accounting department. So yeah, I mean, accountability is critical. Like you said, you've got to have something other than just your parents holding you accountable, so that way you can stay accountable for yourself. Because by the time, like I said, whenever you enter college, you have to be accountable for yourself. So when you're fading out of high school, you have to be the one, like by the time you get out of high school, you've got to be the one controlling your own destiny.
So tell us about that warehouse work. Fun, exciting, you learn a lot?
Oh, great stuff, great stuff. Yeah, I mean, when you just go through bottles of spray cans and you have to put stickers on every single one of them 1,000 times a day, I mean, it's a great learning experience.
Yeah, these are the building blocks, right? Yeah, you're putting absolutely. The first blocks down, then you get another block, and eventually you're going to have a castle, right? And this is it. You can't build a castle out of soft sand. These are firm building blocks. This is great, and you know, what's good when you have these first jobs and then you get another job, you say, you know, you're just working out there, you're sweating, you're putting your labels on, you're getting it done. But in 10 years from now, future Preston's going to go back and say, thank you, past Preston. Thank you for doing all that stuff, because I appreciate the job I got now so much because I was doing that. You know, you learn a lot, too. So that's good. We have a caller right now. You know, we got a few callers coming in. I'm going to take... Go ahead, Josh. Who do we have?
Yeah, we got a couple of callers on the line. If you want to get involved in this conversation, you really want to take advantage of the knowledge that's in this room. If you're somebody looking for a job, if you're an employer looking for a candidate, this is the hour you want to call and get involved and have your questions answered. And on line one today, we have Dahas. Dahas, what's your question today?
Hey, I'm here speaking on behalf of NLP Logix. I'm doing an internship there, actually.
Yeah, and tell us about that. This is great. Are you in high school?
Yeah, I'll be a senior this year.
Okay, we got a rising senior from high school. Where do you go to school?
Yeah, I go to Stanton College Prep.
Okay, Stanton, great school. So at NLP, you're doing an internship. Walk me through a day in the life of that internship.
So it's every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for 5 weeks, and it's from 1 to 5 in the afternoon. So basically, we come in, and there's usually a lesson at the beginning. One of the, like, instructors, employees will, like, tell us what we're going to do, the plan for the day, and, like, we have 3 different software tools that we use, so each day we kind of, like, get an introduction to that. And so we use that to analyze this data set that we have.
Oh, now listen, this is exciting because, you know, number one, this is a summer internship, like a kind of like a boot camp or something. Is that correct? And, you know, one of the biggest things in technology with the hottest skill set is analyzing data. Okay, you can't get enough data. Give me the data. All the financial people want to grab all this data from all and spit it out into these reports that are going to help you run companies or become more effective and productive. You're in a space that is so exciting. It's fantastic. What's got you, you know, what has your, is piquing your interest in technology? Like, why are you going to this?
Well, both of my parents are actually involved in IT, so they kind of inspired me. And this opportunity just kind of came up, and it was, like, really perfect because it fit into my schedule. It's in the summer. Like, it's a good, especially, like, before college apps and stuff, it's good to have under my belt as well.
Well, that's incredible, Dehas. So let me ask you something. Did you get to hear Ted when he was on the show a few weeks ago?
No, I actually didn't.
Oh, no, that's
shame.
Terrible.
Shame on you.
Yeah, so Ted came on the show and talked about the program a little bit, and I actually got to come by your office and visit with y'all while you were there. Did I get a chance to meet you?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't think I,
I know we met some people from Stanton, and that is an incredible opportunity. So you're building the data, and so have you built your first program yet?
So, yeah, we are basically building a predictive model based on the data that we're given. So it's like it's basically machine learning.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, you are solidly in the space right now that is the hottest. I've mentioned that once already, but I'm going to tell you what, this machine learning, artificial intelligence, neurologistic programming, this is a space right now that is the future. If you look at so many jobs, even what I do as a recruiter, I call people all day long, but there are certain things that I say repetitively over and over and over. And machines can listen to the responses and know which direction to go in. I'm telling you what, it is the future. And when I see it in my business, I know it applies unilaterally to so many others. Dehas, I really appreciate you calling in today. I appreciated speaking with you, and good luck. And I hope you complete that internship and rock and roll out there in the workforce. Tom, we're going to be wrapping up here. We're coming to the bottom of the hour. We got a few more minutes. But what do you think of Nehas and what she's doing?
I think it's awesome. First off, she's in a space that is just taken off. But the one point that she said that really stuck with me as a dad is that she was inspired by her mom and dad, right? Your parents, you have to be involved if you're a parent. And if you're listening out there and trying to train up your kid and think about what they're going to be in the future, you know, everything you do is a reflection. And your kids are watching, right? And obviously, Dehas was inspired, as she said, by her parents. And that's just awesome to hear. I hope as a dad that I can do that for my kids too.
Right. And, you know, let me talk from personal experience right now. My son graduated from Providence High School, and he didn't have such a good junior year. Didn't have such a good senior year either, you know, but he was a heck of a lacrosse player. But he didn't know what his path was going to be. And I'll tell you what, I didn't know mine, okay? I joined the Navy to help pay for college. You know, college wasn't an option when I was of age. But I figured out my path. And as I led off today's show, I said, I'm a sum total of my life's experiences. That's my successes and my failures. And I've had several, but I learned from them. My son right now is 22 years old. He works as a technology recruiter for our company, S&I Companies, and he does a good job. I couldn't be more proud of him, you know. But his path is different than Preston's path, is different than my path, is different than others. But, you know, the idea is when you get into the workforce, you become the best at what you do, no matter what it is, no matter where you go. And I say this all the time, whether you're turning widgets, whether you're turning wrenches or selling widgets or building something, whether you're in a trade or you're you know, you're white collar, it doesn't matter. What you have to do is be the absolute best at it as you can. The only way to be the best is to be a hard worker, right? From buzzer to buzzer, you got to give it everything you got. Alex, what do you think of that?
I think you're exactly right, Pete. You know what? And I appreciate what we're talking about here, but you know what? You can't use your parents or your teachers or the things that somebody else did as either a crutch, right? Or as a gift, right? You can't say, oh, well, they were a doctor, so I'm going to be a doctor. It reminds me of that funny story, that funny movie with Will Ferrell, and he's, you know, the one boy says, oh, well, I live in a learned house of doctors, right? And so I'm a doctor. No, you're not, right? You've got to go earn that all by yourself, right? And the same thing happens when you're from a family that had a whole deal of tragedy or setbacks, and you can't use that as an excuse either, right? You got to make it on your own. It's all you, Preston said earlier, right? When I left and went to college, it was all on me, right? The crutches are off, right? The guardrails are gone, and it's all you. It's like bowling with the guardrails, right? Anybody can do that. But when you take them away, that's when it's up to you.
Right. So well said. I'll tell you, when I was growing up, all I wanted to be was a dentist. I wanted to get in your mouth and take your plaque right off of that. I wanted to clean it up. I wanted to drill out the holes and pour in some amalgamum or whatever you call that stuff. I wanted to fill the cavities in your mouth. But that didn't happen. You know, life, you know, you go with life. A little curveball here, a little change. But you go with it, and again, whatever path you're on, you make it the best. Guys, we're going to take a break here for a minute. Let's get a news weather update, and we'll be right back.
And welcome back to the Hard Worker Show with Pete the Job Guy Langlois. I just want to give out the phone number one more time, guys, because this is a show you want to take advantage of. If you have any questions about the hiring industry, go ahead and give us a ring at 340-1045. That's 340-1045. And Pete will give you any answers to any questions, along with Alex, to any question you might have. All right. And Natalie, we're going to come to you in 1 second, but Pete's got a little thing he wants to do first.
Yeah, I got to talk a little bit first. All right. Remember, 904-340-1045. Join the discussion today. I want to talk to you. If you're a kid and, you know, you're in high school, you're thinking about, you know, how do I prepare myself? What am I doing? You have a story you want to share that can help somebody else. Give us a call. Let us know all about it. You know, I have two things. And Preston, can help me with this real quick. Preston's here. Preston is Alex Stuckey's son. He's going into his third year in college right now. Sharp guy. Glad he's with us. Laurel or Yanni? Or Yanni? Which one is it?
Well, that's a little old now. I know you're an old man, so it takes a little bit of time for things to catch up.
I get no love. I'm on the Twitter. Right, Aaron? I'm on the Twitter.
I've heard both, though. I will say that.
All I hear is Laurel. Laurel. That's all I've ever heard. So anybody hears anything different, I want to let you know right now you are wrong. Okay? That's the only answer to that. Guys, when I was in high school, I think back, you know, and I, you know, thinking about my career path, right? I was always this go-getter, right? Before high school, even in grade school, I had two paper routes and I cleaned a canteen truck. I got paid $50 a week to go to this guy's house. And the canteen truck, if you know, like if you go to construction sites, a guy pulls up in a pickup truck with this kind of metal back to it. I guess this is the precursor to the food trucks, right? You open up the sides and they sell coffee and pre-made sandwiches and sodas and all that. And I used to go to this guy's house at the end of the day, and the truck was completely depleted. Okay? And in his cellar down in Florida, we don't know what a cellar is, but for anybody that's relocated to Florida, like 90% of us, you have cellars as you go underground and you store a bunch of stuff down there. Well, in his cellar, he had like a big storehouse of sodas and all that. So the truck comes in. I take everything out. And then I would put the new product in the back, and then I would take what's remaining and put it in the front. You know, you want to make sure you're rotating your product and the fresh, the older stuff sells first and the newer stuff's in the back. But I cleaned it all out. I had it spotless. And then I would put everything back in, and I got $50 cash. Now, if you're a dinosaur like me and you're old, $50, like right now, that'll get you broccoli at Ruth's Chris, okay? That's what $50 gets you nowadays. But back then, that was like, that was monster money, guys. I mean, I had on my paper route, I think I had 50, 70 customers that dropped the paper off, and I might make, you know, $4 a week or something delivering papers, you know. And I had two routes. I had the Town Crier and the Lowell Sun. I had my two paper routes. I'm delivering that, and then I clean this truck. What I'm getting at here is, you know, I knew early on I like money. I like being able to pay for things. And in order for me to have money to pay for things, I got to work for it. But then on the flip side of that, and parents, you know, this is what I like hearing too, is not only did I go to school, and you have to maintain certain grades in school, I was an athlete. I played football and I wrestled for a while too. And then I had two paper routes and cleaning a canteen truck. I mean, that's a lot on a kid. We pull, you know, you think about kids, right? I want to hear if you are right now in school and you have a job, I want to hear about that job. You know, tell us about it. And I want to hear, you know, are you able to do your homework? Are you able to get decent grades and work real hard? Because it's tough. I mean, it is a difficult balance. And I'd love to hear some of the challenges or maybe some of the things that you do as a young person to kind of to work out that delicate balance. But before we go to that, and I apologize, Natalie, I know you've been holding for a while. We got some other callers lined up. I want to make sure everybody calls 904-340-1045. Join the discussion. And right now, before we take any calls or do anything, we are going to go to our handy-dandy J.O.B. news reporter, the world-famous Erin Mills.
Good morning. This is Erin Mills with your J.O.B. report. As we wait for the numbers from July, let's review June's report. The U.S. economy added over 213,000 jobs in June, which is higher than the median estimate of 195,000, according to Bloomberg. And according to CNN Money, now interns, including blue-collar workers and teenagers, shouldn't have much trouble finding a job. There are more openings right now than unemployed workers, but not all June data were encouraging. Instead of accelerating as many would hope, the annual wage fell slightly to 2.7% from 2.8%. And back to Jax, the current unemployment rate is 3.6%, which is in between the cities of Orlando and Miami, with Orlando at the lowest of the three. The top hiring industries in Jacksonville, according to data, are healthcare and information technology. That is all for your job report this Sunday, and I am Erin Mills.
Oh, thank you very much, Erin Mills. You know, I keep hearing healthcare and IT, right? So I'm thinking, I'm a young person. What do I want to do when I go? What jobs do I want to? Healthcare and IT. Okay, there's a lot of jobs, a lot of opportunity. If you're thinking about, and there's a lot of different things you can do. It doesn't mean I have to be a doctor. I have to be a nurse. There's so many different, you get in the administration side of it. There's the IT side of it. There's so many different things to do within those two fields. But guys, you know, I hope you hear it and think about that as you're deciding what you're going to do in your future. Tom, you're flagging me down. What you got over here?
Pete, I'll tell you what, you know, you mentioned it when you were in high school, working four jobs, right? Making the big cash. And, you know, you had a lot of responsibility. But if you're going to get in the workforce, you got to be responsible, right? You got to show up and contribute and everything else. And, you know, I think about when I was a kid, I had jobs in high school. You know, I was a.
What'd you do?
My dad called me a soda jerk. I worked at the Carvel ice cream, scooping cones and making milkshakes for people. And it was an awesome job. It was a great summer job to have. Like you too, I had some buddies whose dads were in the construction industry. So I sweeped up construction sites, helped paint, clean paint brushes and things like that. And you know what? It goes to show that you got to put the hard work in, but also that I didn't want to be cleaning paintbrushes all my life, right? So it's like I gotta get serious about school and you know, when I was in high school, I played sports as well, and I was a sophomore in high school playing on a state-ranked football team.
You don't look athletic.
No, I'm kind of a You know, I got a face for radio, as they say. But back then, you know, I was kind of a little, I thought I was a stud. And you know, school, if I get the B's and the C's, I'll be all right. But I had a career-ending injury. I blew my knee out as a young age. And I was like, man, I got to start doing something different now because this whole sports career had just ended. And that was kind of a turning point for me because, you know, I had to refocus and really start working harder at school and, you know, had parents in place that just like you said, hey, you know, you don't have to do it, you know, if you don't want to. But if you're not, you're going to be digging ditches probably. So you better start working hard.
So, you know, that's funny you say that because we listened to Dr. Tiller a few weeks back and Ted Willich a few weeks back with NLP. And both of them had totally different stories, right? One started out with all the advantages that there was to have and then had bad grades, had a huge setback, and then had to, you know, he went into the Marine Corps and started all over, right? It was like we started with the show with talking about the work comp rate, right? So he ended up with a high mod, high risk, but came all the way back, right? Not just to a one like we talked about, but, you know, you don't want to come back to even, you want to come back way ahead, and now he owns NLP, and the DeGoss from earlier today called in, and I think we got Natalie on the phone also from NLP, young folks that in Stanton and in other high schools in this program, and we heard Dr. Tiller talk about how he started out and he was in foster care or was going to be, you know, his parents had passed and he was, you know, having to start from way down, a huge, huge setback, and how he made his mind up early that if your time's going to pass no matter what. So are we going to take that time and try to grow and be ahead and work and study and do all these things to make it? And he, you know, obviously is a very successful doctor. So, you know, those kind of things just resonate with me about, you know, having to overcome things and having to come back.
Perfect. You know what I think? Josh, Natalie's been quite patient. Maybe we can get her on. Natalie, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Right, and you know, I know you've been very, very patient, and I appreciate that. You're also doing the NLP internship, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, tell me, why? Why are you getting into technology? Why are you doing this?
Well, you know, if you look around us, you know, technology is the future. You can't just not get involved with it, especially with an opportunity presented to yourself like that. And as well as, youth, you have to kind of get ahead of the game if that's given to you. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I know exactly what you mean. Here's the thing. Like, with technology, there's so many different directions you go. Infrastructure, you go application development, you be a programmer, a security expert. You're in the data space, right in that. Why that? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, data is now being used for so many advances in studies. Like I just recently learned, diabetic studies and so many different things. And you want to incorporate that. And a lot of people are now jumping onto that kind of train. And you see it, like what they teach us there. You can see it, all around you. And you kind of want to get into that as well. And to, also help, I want to say, in the future as well.
Natalie, that's great that you're taking the initiative and doing this internship. And you know, the folks I talk to and hiring people, there's two good things about internships. One is that you get the experience. And also, though, you learn, is this the field I want to be in, right? Technology is hot right now. But
it's an eye-opener.
Yeah. And is it the data piece? Is it the development piece? Do you want to, you know, be a project manager? There's so many aspects of it. So take the advantage to learn as much as you can from as many people as possible, all these experts you're working with, and just run with it because you may want to do it, or you may say, you know what, I love something a little bit different.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I thought I wanted to be a technology guy growing up in the early 80s and computers just coming on. And boy, I was so excited and took my very first class in college, which was a technology class.
What,
programming.
Was it COBOL or Fortran?
COBOL and Fortran. And after about the first test, I realized that I'm not going to make it. I blew it with a big D and then ended up with an F on the next one. And so I decided to audit the class. And that was the end of the technology career for me.
Natalie, what's the end game? Like, you know, you fast forward 5, 10, maybe even 20 years. Walk me through what you at this point see as your career progression.
You know, I think the goal right now is at least to have some like actual worthwhile degree, because nowadays in life you can't go far without one. You can't just kind of go on a limb. So I'm just planning to maybe do like my 4-year, and technology is looking good right now. Especially yeah. Degree, I can't say for sure, but I want to make sure I graduate college, and you just can't survive without, like, to be honest, very honest. You
right.
Can't.
Where do you go to school?
I go to Sandwood High School.
And how are your grades looking?
Oh, amazing.
I love hearing it. Okay, this is somebody that's an overachiever with the grades. You already know your space. You're doing what it takes. Like a lot of people, right? And this is what I see in the workforce. You know, just you go in, you put in your time, and you go home. Okay, and then the cream always rises to the top. Okay, the people that go the extra mile do. You know, success doesn't happen by accident. It's very infrequent that you become successful just by happenstance. You have to do all the little things that get you to that destination. Do you also work, Natalie?
No, but I do take part in a sport at school.
What do you play?
I'm a varsity weightlifter. I compete.
You think you can bench press more than Alex?
It depends.
I can tell you probably. Okay, I'm looking at him. I say you probably can. I've seen he can do about one push-up, and then he's calling for a spotter.
But I'm carrying a lot of weight too, though, Pete. So that's a heavy push-up.
That's a tough one.
Natalie, you know, look, I'm a dinosaur. I've been around a while. I've worked in the technology space for a lot of years. Is there any question? You got me. You got Alex. You have Tom in here. Any questions you might want to ask us? Because what I like to do is help prepare people. You know, I've had some career pitfalls, and that I tell my son, I tell my daughter all the time, here, don't do this, or do more of this, do less of this. And I've worked with some wackadoo people, and I've worked with some great people too. Is there any question, anything, any advice that you're seeking that maybe one of us could share with you and help you a little bit?
I'll be very honest. How would you say, I guess, to kind of like keep the motivation to keep striving forward? I know nowadays people are so strong in the beginning, but then they lose like their motivation for their passion as they go on. How would you say to like keep striving through it all?
Natalie, I'm going to tell you, number one, I love that question. I'm so glad you asked it. You have three different people here. You're going to get three different answers. But I'm going to tell you my own personal motivation. This is part of my own mantra. Okay. I think of myself, when I say I've gone through the ringer, I've gone through the ringer, and I never want to go through the ringer again in life. I want to always provide better for myself and for my family than I had growing up. I want to create more opportunities for my kids, and I want to live a certain lifestyle. It's important to me. So what I think is always keep your eye on the prize. What's important to me, number one, is my family, and I want to take care of my family. I can't be a B-minus player and take care of my family the way I want to. A-plus is the only option, okay? My motivator also is the fear of failure, okay? That was always, and when you look at failure, right? And I always think my personal life is in perfect order when my work life is in order, okay? And think about this, it's a balance. For me, if my work life is in order, I'm not going to throw financial stress on top of maybe any other personal issues that are coming along, because my work life is in order. So I make sure that I keep that balance, and I make sure that I always know what my motivators are. It's family and fear of failure. Those are my two biggest motivators. Tom, well, you might have something different that keeps your drive and your ambition and keeps you 100% focused on winning.
Yeah, Natalie, that's a great question, and really comes down to what's your why, right? So Pete's why is his family and fear of failure. And that why could change over your career, right? So when you're coming out of school, your why may be to make a lot of money, which I'm going to say that's probably the worst why to have, to be honest with you. I mean, if you're just chasing money and things like that, I have a good friend, he's a doctor, and everyone's always like, doctors, you make a lot of money. He's like, you know what? I don't do it for the money. I do it to help people or to, you know, make people better. So whatever your personal why is, you have to find it out. And then it could change, you know. Years ago, it was to be successful for me and help people. Now it's, you know, I have a family as well and to provide. And it's just, it's all personal on what you want to do. And I had a buddy in sales one time, and he had a sales team. And he had this guy, he was an underperformer. And he's like, you know, how'd you train him up? He's like, well, the guy wanted to go to Alaska, wanted to take his dad to Alaska. So they said, okay, that's your why. And then they worked back and you know, created a plan. So once you know your why, you can create that plan.
That's it. Alex, what's your whys?
What's my why? So my why is a lot like yours, Pete, and that is since birth, I think I've had that drive. And Natalie, I think to answer your question is the fact that you're asking that, you already have that in you, right? I believe firmly that the reason why people rise to the top is because it's just innately born, and then it's cultivated by your friends and your family. And that's why you've got to hang around with good people, right? The crew that you hang around with leads to your success. You heard Preston talk about that a little bit earlier, that his friends had a huge influence on him getting better grades, right? So your friends and your family are going to cultivate what you already have inside of you. So I would suggest to you that you hang around with folks that have the same drive and passion that you want to either achieve or that you're aligned with already. I think that that's critical. And, you know, so I think you're already on the right step just by asking the question.
That's great. Natalie, thank you very much for joining Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy and Alex and Tom this morning. You know, stay right on the path that you're on because you're going to be a somebody. And keep my number handy. Yeah, keep my number handy because when you're ready to join the workforce, I'm going to be ready to place you somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Natalie. Take care. All right, next, Aaron Mills, world famous JOB news reporter. Aaron Mills, get over here. She's looking at me with this horrified face. There's no way I'm coming near the microphone. Come over here, Aaron, for just a second.
Why do you insist on doing this to me so early in the morning, Pete? I can't do this.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You know what I'd love? Tell everybody what your why. What's your why? Because
sure.
You work hard. I always say, Aaron, if she wore a cape to work, I wouldn't be surprised because she is super. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's hard. I think my family grew up around, so we came here from the Philippines. My grandmother came, I don't know, very long time ago. And since then, she's always like, you're going to go to school, you're going to get a good education, and you're going to do everything that I couldn't do when I was younger. And so even talking about it now, I'm like, so much blood boiling. And so I feel like I haven't done it all right, like where I'm standing right now, but I'm continuing to do it through my family, through just spending quality time with them. So I would say my family, number one, definitely why I do everything.
That's good. What's your degree in?
Sure. I have a degree in advertising from the University of Florida. Wearing my nice little jacket in here.
Go Gators. So,
yes. And so that's that.
So, you know what? You said something that resonates again, and that's, you know, the pressure, right? Pressure. Food cooks a lot quicker in a pressure cooker,
yeah.
Right? And I think our careers do as well, mm-hmm. Right? The more pressure you apply to something, the quicker you cook and the more successful you become,
yeah.
Faster. And
agreed.
And I think that pressure is what happens.
Yeah.
You know, it shows with you, right? That you apply the pressure, you put it on you, and you succeed. And you succeed faster than, mm-hmm. most people. You know, diamonds aren't made by no
That's
pressure,
right?
Right? You got to crush it, right?
I'm a pretty diamond.
Anong Pangalamo? Did I say
pangalan,
it right?
Pangalan. You had to say the ng in the NG. That's the sound.
I always blow it. All right. Listen, all you hard workers out there, you future hard workers, every week we try to share with you a nugget or two that's going to help you to be more effective, more productive, going to help you to be successful in the workforce. That's what the show's about. I don't know anybody that's sitting on a pile of hundreds, just peeling them off. Here's a bunch of hundreds. You know what, Preston? I forgot to ask you. What's your why? Step right up to that mic. I wanted to hear what your why is. And it's not the YMCA. It's what's your why?
My why, I mean, I kind of understand what Aaron was saying, but not the whole family part, just the whole, like getting an education, it's important. So my why, it's kind of been in pieces since the beginning. I mean, it's all connects to, like, I want to do something I'm passionate about, but it's always, like, I'm looking at the next couple steps. I'm not looking, like, when I'm 40. I'm looking right now. Like, my why right now is to get through school as well as I can.
And I'm going to tell you, Preston, that you're right on. You have little stages, and you celebrate the little victories. Once you get the piece of paper, then you get the job. Each one, you celebrate your little victories along the way. Guys, I hope all you hard workers have enjoyed the show today. I hope you're walking away with a nugget or two that's going to help you to be more effective and productive. I'm Pete the Job Guy. This is Hard Worker. Join me next week or listen to our podcast. I'm all over social media, PeteTheJobGuy.com.